From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, March 31st, 2009. Each week, this podcast examines news, trends, and topics of interest to the geospatial community. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, we look at something everyone in geospatial has likely presented or viewed, and that's a demo. Has the importance of demos changed over the years? Does the medium matter? And if a story is so good, do you even need to see a demo? We'll look at the demoer's dilemma after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Quickly get your imagery to the people who need it with ArcGIS Server Image Extension. For more information, visit www.esri.com/image.
Some background as to how I got to this topic. Last week, Microsoft announced a new Silverlight control for Virtual Earth. And the pre-announcement of the community tech preview, which is really what it was, came early in the week, and it said that the release was actually going to be later in the week. And I was frustrated when I got the materials from Microsoft that while they explained what it was and pointed me to a blog post, there was nothing that I could play with. There was no demo that I could touch to see what this thing was about. There was a video, but there wasn't really something I could touch. So I went out and I actually found a demonstration that had been put together by a Microsoft third-party developer, which started to give me a sense of what was going on here. But it really got me thinking that now in 2009, if something is announced, we really want to be able to start touching it immediately, especially if it's a web-based sort of solution. And I'll maybe go as far as to say that if an organization doesn't have a demo out that you can start to play with, the product or service or technology is probably not ready to be announced at all. So what I want to do now in this podcast is let's look at this concept of a demo and maybe how it's changed and what it's about and how you make really great GIS, geospatial technology demos. So let me start with maybe a historical sort of question. And that's, as we look back at the demos that we used to do back in the day, Joe, both you and I worked for different software companies, how does the old live demonstration that you'd see at a conference, at a booth, or even up on stage compare to the more do-it-yourself-on-the-web kind of demos that we see today?
Less buttons to push, I think, is the best way to put it. In the old days, we went through a rather convoluted process of drop-down menu, hit the click radio dial, insert a command, and then get some result, which probably took anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes to eventually show somebody what you eventually wanted. In today's day and age, we're very much consumers of these demos that are presented before us. Sometimes we don't click anything at all. They just light off and they go. A big difference in terms of what is being shown to us, even so much as going to YouTube and watching a video of a demo. It's just point, click, and try to be entertained.
You lose a lot of that. Even if somebody's up on stage or if somebody's standing next to you giving you a demo, you have that personal interaction with them. And I think some of the folks who did the best demos were really keyed into what it was that the person who wanted to see the demo, what their issue was. Was it all about how simple it was? Was it all about how you could get data in? Was it all about using it for a particular application, like running a water network? And you lose all of that if you sit down and watch a video or if you sit down and try to make your way through some kind of an online demo.
Yeah, and certainly always the challenge for us when we were giving demos was that you wanted to solve somebody's problem. That may take you a while to get there. But, you know, as the demo jocks that we were, I mean, you always wanted to listen to what the problem was and then go and try to solve it. You did try to can some of this in, and people still do now, but basically you would lose that interaction now, and I think maybe that's a little bit about what's missing.
On the other hand, I think that the providers of software and services certainly love the idea that they can make these demos available, whether they're hands-on, that is, you know, try out our web application. Here it is. Go play with it. Or if it's go to YouTube and watch this video of us demonstrating it. It's very efficient. You don't need to pay somebody an hourly rate to give that demo. It can happen anywhere, anytime. And maybe one of the most important things about it is that it's shareable. Right? You can have the person who's watching the demo or consuming the demo can send the URL to a friend, can embed the video in a blog post. So it really makes it very ubiquitous.
Right. I think that is an advantage. But I've got a problem with some of the demos that are out there now. I've watched a few of them. I've watched a few of the online demos, some of the ones
Let me be clear. Are you talking about videos, or are you talking about where you can actually get in there and play with the application?
No, I'm talking about some of the videos. Some of the ones that you can play with, you don't really play with, right? I mean, some of them are just lit off, and you go, maybe you do a little zoom, a little pan, right? And that's part of my problem, is that maybe the controls on it are not as, don't let you do as much as you would, as you'd like to do. You get a real snippet of the application. And I think that's a problem. I think you want to play with it more. They allow you to do as much as you want. Some of the mashups I've seen, if somebody puts an app out there, they are very targeted to one thing. But I think they take a very cavalier attitude with mapping technology, in that they don't get serious enough.
Can you give an example, even if it's made up, because I'm not really following?
Yeah, so the example I would give was one that you had highlighted in the Silverlight blog post, which was the Twitter feeds. All we see in this little mashup is Twitter people putting their Twitter posts on a map. That's one. But even so much as some of the ones that go back to the very beginning, the Craigslist or whatever, they did something very targeted and very limited. And I don't see the progression today towards something a little bit more sophisticated. Yeah, they're great that they target one particular thing, but it's just pan, zoom, and put a stick on a map. I think that's trivializing the technology and what it can do.
Okay, but just to come to the defense of the folks who made the Silverlight Twitter demo, the point of that was to show off the new control. It wasn't to build a heavy-duty analytical application.
But what's the point of the control? They're just showing me a backdrop of a virtual Earth. Show me something that's a little bit more than continuous panning around the map. I'm not impressed.
Well, that's really what the new control is aimed to do, is to do that better.
I just was not that much enthralled with the control. I think that people are so much in love with panning and zooming down into the higher resolution image and doing it fast, that I just think it trivializes what you eventually want to get to. And maybe they're just putting it out there so that people can use it and do something more advanced. But I don't know. Where's the back-end control to SQL Spatial?
Let's move on to maybe a better question, which is, what makes a really great demo? And remember, I'm talking about the demo here, not... I mean, let's face it, there are people who can do great demos of lousy technology, and vice versa. But what I want to talk about here is the actual demonstration where you've got that obligation to show off this piece of software.
My feeling is what makes a great demo is you're going to give me my answer really quickly. And I don't mean that from a professional mapping standpoint. I mean, I'm the real estate executive who wants to know how many of my stores are in the red and how many are in the black. And I want you to get me that answer. I don't want you to spend, an hour getting me that result. Tell me that. Show me that little demo that you can get that answer quickly.
So you don't want any information about where the data came from or what process was used to determine which are in the red and which are in the black. You don't want to hear any of that. You just want to...
I'm a decision maker. Show me a demo of what this great mapping technology can do. So give me an answer.
And you don't care if it's with somebody else's data and somebody else's geography. That doesn't bother you.
I don't. If I'm a guy who is the responsible GIS manager, sure, yeah, but I want to get down in the weeds with the technology. I want to know where you're pulling that data from. I want to know what controls are available to me. Do I need to learn a programming language? What do I need to know? So there is a couple levels here that I think you're talking about. In the classic sense of a GIS demo, if I go to a trade show, shoot, I just want to get the answer.
Maybe we're on the same page, but I think I would phrase it differently. The best demos that I've seen, thinking back, really give me a feeling when they're done that I could do that. And I mean that in two ways. One, as an end user, I can follow the logic there, and I could go through that process with the software myself. It's easy enough, it's logical enough that I could do it. From a programming standpoint, I want to have that same kind of confidence. Oh, I understand how all those things fit together. I understand where the controls come from, and I could build a little program like that. It's that sense of, this is not beyond me. This is within my grasp. I could be successful with this. I could answer the question that my boss asks of me, either as an end user or as a programmer. That's the kind of feeling that I think the demoer should push onto the person watching the demo. So that's the feeling they get when they're done.
Right. So you want to be conveyed a certain level of confidence that you can do this yourself. You can use that piece of software when that demo is done.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah. But that's because that's the thing that would put me in a position to say, gosh, that's the right product for me.
Yeah, and I tell you, I have seen a couple of demos recently, more from the programming side. People are giving me controls that actually will fit together kind of like in a model view type of a setting where people piece together little snippets of code, string them together, and come out with some analysis or some other control at the very end that leads me to an answer. And what I'm always impressed by when I see that is I understand the basics of each little code snippet, like the code snippet that does geocoding or the code snippet that creates a thematic map. And when I piece those two together, I go at the end, and you know what? What we've done here is we've kind of eliminated some of the programming on the back end where now the tools are getting easier. So when I see a demo like that, I see, you know, I don't have to be a programmer. I could string these little code snippets together and come out with an answer at the end, which is maybe a little different than a couple of years ago, which is I understand the dialogue boxes. Now I can create my own thematic map. So in that sense, the good demo then is almost elevating the user of geospatial technology from just the guy who makes pretty maps to a guy who actually can create applications as well as creating that end-user answer.
Right, and I think, again, you're sort of echoing what I said about you feel like you could go home and do this.
Yeah, my problem was with some of the demos that I've seen, you know, from the developer community was that I want something more than just zoom, pan, and stick a pin on the map, even though that's the point of some of these controls. I just think it trivializes some of the things that I'd love to see coming up with the technology. Even though it looks easier to use from a programmatic standpoint, it's only getting me part of the way there.
Okay, well, let me talk about one piece of the demo that I've always had mixed feelings about, and that's the flashy, exciting part, and that's where you jump to 3D or you spin the globe around or video starts playing. You know, there's something just very exciting that often is what's up on the big screen in the booth when people walk by. Now, what's your experience with that aspect of the demo?
Yeah, that's a really great question because I remember back in 1994 when I was giving a demo, I think it was at a conference in Amsterdam, where we put speakers on the side of the PC to show that we can embed a multimedia presentation. My God, that was gaga stuff. Now that's trivial, right? Multimedia embedded into mapping is obviously the trivial thing. And spinning the globe or zooming into the globe, you know, we've seen that for a couple of years now. So and I guess that goes to my point of trivialization. That's not the point. You want to get to the map data. You want to get to the answer. So good stuff, fun to see, not the right emphasis.
And I had the same sort of experience when I did my years as being a demo person. And that's that the people who came over and wanted to see whatever the flashy thing was were never, frankly, they weren't really serious about using the software. It was the people who were really interested in the really boring parts, like I have some really ugly, messy AutoCAD data. How would I get it to be clean and happy GIS data, which is like the meat and potatoes of some aspects of certainly CAD-based GIS that I worked with. And those were the people who were they were really, really interested. They had a real problem that potentially the software could solve. And anytime anybody came over and said, oh, show me the 3D, it's like, well, that's just icing on the cake. There's really nothing to that.
Some of those problems have progressed to the point where we don't have to worry so much about the nitty-gritty anymore. How we ingest CAD files from a variety of different formats is really a very trivial exercise right now. We are getting to the point where if somebody shows me a demo of that, it's almost taken for granted. I know that you can ingest, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 different file formats. I know that to transform and load different file formats is going to be really relatively easy. So now I'm further along down the line. You don't have to show me that stuff anymore. And I think that was my point about getting to the answer.
What's the future of demoing? And what's going to look like as we move from 2009 forward? What's the state of the art right now, if you had to describe it, in terms of the technology we're using to demo or what people are trying to get out of a demo, whether it's face-to-face or online?
I think it starts with, let's say, that the platform. I think more and more demos are being personalized because now we can interact through something like live meeting or GoToWebinar. You can go one-to-one with some of these demos. So the platform and visualizing the demo right off is, I think, incredibly different and very powerful. It's allowing people to spend more time one-to-one, even though they're not face-to-face. They are one-to-one. That, of course, allows a lot of people to do some fantastic things in the demo, even so much as to really customize the demo. And I think maybe that's the point you're getting at, is these demos now can be very customized very quickly, whereas before some of them had to be more canned.
Right, and certainly from a media standpoint, we're certainly getting more pitches that say, hey, I want to show you our new application, and it's going to be a WebEx demo, and that's huge. And those are, frankly, the best demos. Assuming that you've got the right person driving it on the other end. Most of the demos that we do see these days are driven by somebody else, and we're sort of watching over their shoulder, whether it's next to them or via the web. And one of the things I'm looking forward to is being in a collaborative environment where I can actually take the controls and drive a little bit and have, in a sense, the person who knows about the product look over my shoulder as I explore it.
Yeah, I think that's where we definitely want to get to. I think that people feel much more engaged with understanding the technology if they can use it, if they can drive it. And I think we're getting there. I think that the tools that are out there on the web allow us to do that, whether that's the platform like a WebEx, where somebody can give you control of their PC, you know, their laptop, and drive the whole demo. So I think it's getting much easier for us to feel like we're a part of the technology, that we can use the technology as opposed to just having the information spit back at us, if you know what I mean. I mean, we can get more involved. We don't have to be talked to or talked through.
I guess the other thing that I'm looking for is when you have the opportunity to look at basically a new demo, and I was just looking at a new interface, a new mapping interface from the folks at Cardifact, and it's really terrific. And I have no problem just poking on buttons and finding my way around and what these different tools did. But I'm wondering if we need sort of some kind of guided tour for those who maybe aren't as familiar or maybe wouldn't find all the things that needed to be highlighted. So it was some kind of a hybrid of a go play around, but hey, don't miss this. You didn't pick on this button yet, and this is really cool. We want to make sure you see it. So kind of a little hybrid where it does everything, but it also has some hints to make sure that you see all the key bits that the provider wants you to see.
I think that's a good point, because it kind of goes back to what I was saying about trivializing what the technology.
Right, you get overwhelmed by Pan and Zoom, and you miss the new thing, right?
Exactly, because there's probably some hidden tools in there that you might miss and that you might want to leverage.
That's all the time we have today. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, invites you to join educational professionals of all levels of GIS experience at the 2009 ESRI Education User Conference, July 11th through the 14th in San Diego, California. Be part of this forum for collaboration between teachers, administrators, researchers, and library and museum professionals. Learn everything you need to know to launch or grow GIS projects in your institution or community. The deadline to register is May 22nd, and you can register online at www.esri.com/educ. That's E-D-U-C. If you'd like to contact us about today's podcast or anything else, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.